Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up. A new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Na 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 na. We gotta change it, girl. Just you and me.
Good evening. That is correct. You and me, all of us out here, we must make these changes out here. Today is Think Thursday. We're going to have an exciting person coming on, CEO of Life Design, Karen Bird, and she's going to give you some information that's just going to floor you. But before we get going, I want to remind you out there, it's the weekend holiday. We must listen. We have to continue to strive and thrive because we must win over this. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with being successful in society and enjoying a degree of fame. But ultimately, the lives of those dedicated to the welfare and happiness of others, even if they remain unrecognized, are the ones truly, truly worthy of respect. So let's not forget to appreciate out there. First of all, appreciate ourselves. Second of all, appreciate everything that we're going through, because you know, obstacles equal growth. And this is just like a stretch we have to take to do what we have to take. And to reach out and go unnoticed and to share and care out there brings you benefits. I want to give a shout out through the community, the LaFleur Florist by Tracy. That is a floral shop that just don't prepare and bunch up flowers. If you want something done with love, if you want something done with heart, then you need to contact Linda Lee. And that is at LaFleur Florist. And the number to dial for Linda Lee is 213-487-6487. She is going to put her heart, her soul. It's just not a bunch of roses in a vase. When she finishes with you, and when that particular arrangement is delivered, it is definitely, definitely heartfelt. Before we get going here, I'm just going to play us a little bit of music and give Professor Karen Bird a chance to come on, because she's going to tell you all about the things that you need to do. We're going to be speaking on life transition, and that is a subject that arises and things that we have to do, and it's a lot that goes on when we're going through that transition period. But let me give you a little bit of Alicia, and then we're going to bring on Professor Bird.
She's just a girl and she's on fire.
Because when we speak of life transition, you know, we experience forceful bursts of change, creating upheaval, transition, renewal many times in our lives. You know, what does transition mean? Change force upon you, or do you seek it for yourself? Do you respond? How do other people manage that change? And use periods of transmission to change your life for the better. Can you learn this? Can you do it again and again and again? Well, Karen Berg, CEO of Life Design, is going to talk to us about transition, especially the personal growth during the time of transition. She is an expert at what she does. Transition is a wonderful thing. Karen Berg, are you on the line? We're waking up with Linda McShann this evening.
I am here, Miss Linda, and thank you for inviting me back. And thank you also for always choosing perfect songs for me when I walk in that door, because Alicia Keys, that song is just what I needed to hear tonight.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I didn't know, but I know when you're going through a transition, And when we're going through those upheavals, sometimes I had to hear that word fire, because it's like you in a burning flame over and over and over again, but it keeps you on fire and it keeps you moving forward. So I guess that's why my little button went on over there for you. I didn't even think about it, but I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Well, you always have a sixth sense about what all of us need, and that's a good thing. And one of the themes, of course, of Alicia's song is a girl being fearless. And we are going to talk a little bit about that tonight and how it fits in this theme of transition and what it means to go through transitions in your life. And as you know, I've been working on my life coaching practice and working with clients to help them break through difficult times, and not like a therapist where you go and talk to someone and, you know, cry and what am I going to do and I need to look at my childhood and what went wrong. Life coach really works with people who are, you know, maybe they might be down a little bit, but they're ready to take action. In fact, we call that space that people are in when they hire a life coach. It's like uncomfortably comfortable. So you may be partly comfortable, but the uncomfortable part of it starts to gnaw on you or sort of makes you want to create a change. But the field of transition, the study of transition is about both. It's about, as you said in the introduction, it's about what it means to be in a life transition, whether it's a change that is forced upon you or you seek it for yourself. And regardless of whether it comes your way uninvited or whether you seek it because you need that change, the process that we go through as human beings is the same. Isn't that interesting? So we're in the middle of a pandemic, and that's forced a lot of change upon people that we, you know, didn't want. But then in the midst of some of that sort of oppressive change or that forced change, many people have been taking this opportunity to use the tools of, well, let's just call it chaos, basically, to make sense out of the chaos and to find a path towards renewal and rebirth and starting over. And that speaks to the human spirit, you know, the spirit of resilience and our ability to adapt and to keep sort of rising from the ashes. There's the flames theme again. So where do you want to start tonight, Miss Linda? I mean, it's a very interesting topic for me, and thanks for inviting me back. And I have been thinking about it some more, and it is part of my core workshop series where in the life coaching, we want to help people understand these phases that we go through during life transitions. And I think we talked about this the last time I was here, that there are three sort of chunks that I put the themes in. One is called return. The three R's, really easy to remember: return, recalibrate, and relaunch. And these are the stages of return, is that sort of self knowledge and understanding your values and maybe understanding where you came from, both as an individual and maybe revisiting some family things. And then the recalibrate, the middle part, is that messy middle that we're talking about, the chaos, where you just feel like you, maybe some life events, big things have happened that tumbled you down or just hit you back to back, one bad thing after another thing, so big and so life-shaking that you not sure if you can recover or what next step to take, but that time can be a time of freedom and discovery and other things, which we can talk about in a little bit. So that's really where I'm focused tonight, the return and recalibrate. The third thing is the relaunch. I call it relaunch, but that's the part where the rebirth happens and that you step back out with something new and exciting that you created or that you're able to get back on a path. So where do we want to start? Do we want to maybe talk about what transition means? I mean, that's a little word.
You know, because transition covers so much, and I know that I'm going to say it right now that we're not going to get through all of this, so we're going to come back on a part two also because transition is an exciting thing here, I think I would say to, you know, what does it mean? What does it mean? And is this,
yeah,
when it comes, is it forced on you, or do you seek it for yourself? See, it all starts with us. It's all what we bring to us.
Yeah.
It's our energy.
Yeah.
So you know when you need to transform to something else. You recognize when there's something happening.
Some do and some don't. But
okay,
but
that's
okay,
true.
So I was interested in the actual, like, original, you know, origin of the word of transition, and it comes from transir, and that has to do with crossing over. It's like a bridge.
Mm.
It's like it literally trans, of course, trans means change or cross, or, you know, like transportation, you're crossing, you know, that sort of thing. So transition, if it does mean to cross over, or it's like this bridge to go from one place to another, from one state to another, meaning, you know, one physical state to another state or whatever, that if you think about in terms of what our topic tonight, which is about life changes, it really is about leaving one and going to another. And the analogy that I like to use, and I think you and I may have talked about this before, I have this visual in my head of a trapeze artist, you know, swinging out over the chasm. There's a big gap below, but that trapeze, you know, the rod, and to let go and swing out over space for some time until the trapeze artist can grab onto the next rod. And you never, you know, that feeling of being out over the chasm is what's so scary for most people. So that being in transition is not, it can be fear of the unknown, but it's also that feeling of just being out of control and in a sense of chaos or in a sense of, or in this sort of state of, I don't know how I want to say it, but like, I don't want to say desperation, but sometimes there are a lot of factors that can go into and emotions that come out of facing change, regardless of when it happens. And, you know, when I first started looking at this, Linda, you know, I'm writing the book that goes with this too, but I thought originally the working title of the book is Making Me Personal Growth During Times of Transition. In other words, helping other people make sense of change. And I thought it was going to be a book about people in midlife, you know, or people who had experienced the kind of loss that I had, the death of a parent, loss of a job, divorce, that, you know, sort of things that happen when you're lived a little. But as I've been interviewing people for the book and talking to others, it turns out that this whole idea of transitioning, going from one part of your life to the next part, or let's say the former chapter to the next chapter of the story of your life, it's really for people at any age who
mm-hmm.
want to think and respond to change and use these periods of uncertainty and we hope hopefulness to creatively and actively engage in their own growth. So I think we're maybe what I could share a little bit about, let's see, how much time do we have tonight?
Yeah, we're going to go. We'll go to about 8:40, so just take your time.
Okay. All right. So, well, I was wondering how far to go back, because the idea for the book and the whole idea for the life coaching practice for me really started with the idea that because I had been through some of those life changes that I'm talking about that just hit you one after the other, after the other, after the other, after the other. And some of them were not things I asked for, but some of them were things that I chose. And when I started doing the research on it, turns out that actually a book was written fairly recently, and I started my work on this about a year and a half ago. But this author now who's a famous sort of TEDx talk, and then he's also written several books, his name's Bruce Feiler, but he just released his most recent book that's called A Life in Transition, and the research that he did, actually, he calls these life events that I was talking about, the bad ones, he calls them disruptors, and he said they typically, right, stop you in your tracks, right?
Yeah.
So these disruptors, now the little ones, the typical ones occur every 12 to 18 months. That sounds like a lot in a person's lifetime, but it's true. But his research showed that, get this, 1 in 10 of those disruptors can become a massive sort of what he calls a life quake, like an earthquake. But these events that are so upsetting that they have a much larger impact and they're much harder to get through. Mm-hmm. And then the interesting part about his definition, the definitions that came out of his research, is this idea, and I think this is really relevant today, which is why I wanted to bring it into discussion, is that he's categorized these life quakes, he calls them, as either personal, that's if it happens to you or me, right, or collective, if it happens to us. So take the pandemic, that's collective. That's a collective life quake for all of us. Mm-hmm. It's changed life as we know it, top to bottom, right? And then there's personal, so collective versus personal. And the personal is, that could be any life quake, but also our responses to the things that are happening during the pandemic, like we started the conversation with. Now, personal versus collective, that's the first line. Okay, second line, imagine this, voluntary versus involuntary.
Mm.
So let's just take a combination of those. I mentioned earlier that I had some back-to-back-to-back sort of smaller live quakes and some big ones. Some of them were personal and voluntary. Some of them were personal and involuntary. My dad dying, personal, involuntary.
Mm-hmm.
Quitting my job, personal, voluntary.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Divorce, personal, voluntary in my case. And then somewhere back about 5 years ago, getting laid off because our whole department got shut down, personal, involuntary.
Right.
So, but then take the pandemic, that's collective, involuntary. 9-1-1, collective, involuntary. A tornado ripping through, you know, a neighborhood. That affects a lot of people, collective, involuntary, anything like that that's kind of a disaster, you know, or catastrophe. And that group of involuntary collective is the smallest group of things. That's the smallest group of life quakes that hit people, you know, if you look at the research. But regardless of how you categorize it, Feiler says that the transition that comes out of those circumstances must be voluntary. So the transition, if you think about how we respond to those things, we have to use our decision-making, our agency, our power, and go through the steps. We have to take action regardless.
That's true.
And so when we do that, there are actually ways to do that and be successful. So when I suggested this topic before tonight, I mentioned that you can learn this. You can learn the steps of how to navigate transitions in your life, big and small, if you understand how they work and can really, you know, be conscious and intentional about the way you respond and act from them. So let me run some of these truths of transitions by you, okay? So the first one is transitions are becoming more plentiful just in general for human beings, and here's why. Because we used to live what they call linear lives, but these days we have non-linear lives.
Right.
And we're more aware and we're more able to make change. Because we live in a modern world, and we have more, you know, especially in first world countries, we have more opportunities to change things. And that's not always good, but you know, sometimes it's bad, but we take more risks because we can. We have more support. We have more resources. So transitions are becoming more plentiful. Transitions are nonlinear, means they don't always happen in a certain order, mm-hmm. or the way we recover from them or the way we act throughout them. It's not necessarily the same steps in the same order all the time, but that's an interesting topic for a bigger another day when we can unpack that. I like this one, and this fits with my life coaching practice. The number three is transitions are autobiographical occasions. I love that because I'm writing my memoir.
Transitions are what? KP?
Are autobiographical occasions, meaning autobiography means your life and your chance to basically rewrite your story. And that's what I'm all about. I really want to help people tell their stories and rewrite their stories, because when you use these times of change to break old tapes running in your head and, you know, create new habits and try new things. Of course, you know, I know you understand this, Linda, because I've known you for a while now, and you are the queen of reinvention. But that's what we're talking about here. That's what we're talking about.
Wait a minute. Will you say the queen of reinventions, because that follows, or will you say the queen of transition because those lifequakes, earthquakes, typhoons, and all of those things come at you at one time, and you make sure you think. Okay, you find out what you're made of and that creativity or whatever you need to do, or that survival button kicks in, and you reinvent.
It's survival, but it's also thriving, because you enjoy life, you enjoy people. So that whole autobiographical thing means I get to do something new. And you know what? I am going to be okay, right? So that's that section right there. And then the next one, number four, is, and this one I don't really know a lot about yet, but this comes from his research, from Fowler's research. He says transitions take longer than you expect, but really should not take any longer than you need. And that's kind of interesting, because there is a psychology behind, and I'll explain this in a minute, but the psychology about how effective people are at getting through transitions, depending on the way they see things and their personality and stuff. But we can talk about that. And then the last one, these facts, or five truths, he calls them, five truths of transitions. Transitions are essential to life. So here's the rub. You can't get away from it. So we are not impervious to bad things happening. You can't get away from it.
No.
It's not like you really can ever prepare for these life shakes, but you be aware that not only are they going to happen, but they're happening more often and happening more frequently, and they're not always within our control. And so we want to look at some of the good things that you can take away from them and the good ways that you can respond to them. So that section that I wanted to talk about tonight is about the recalibrate. What does it mean? Yeah, so what does it mean? So let me ask you, Linda, the pandemic's a good example. Can you think, I mean, it's brought sort of a profound sense of disconnection to a lot of us. And one of the things that I remember you saying was that you started this podcast because you felt like you needed to do something.
Yes.
Right? When that was because we were all going through this kind of collective, involuntary, you know, Katie, bar the door. We all got to stay inside now. We can't go anywhere. How are we going to connect? How are we going to have our social time? How are we going to reach out to people? How can we stay melded, you know, because we're used to being able to do that.
Right. When you take it back to that, because of the ability, because the podcast has been going on since 2013 and, you know, in between. But my thing was, what can I do? Mm-hmm. I must encourage people and let them know to keep pushing, because this was like a what? Okay, now, the way I live my life and my humanitarian skills, it was like, okay, it's time for another shift. Okay, I can get through that. I got my methods of creating my own happiness, okay? I have my
right.
methods of keeping myself balanced. I have that. But everybody doesn't
right.
have that. But it was no
That's
sense
right.
in me just knowing how to do it. I had to do something to shake someone up to let them know, hey, you know, we're going to move on through this. Don't be defeated. And
yeah.
and as
That's
I
right.
mentioned to you, you know, I'm not one to run naked, but I took every cap and gown I ever walked in and posted it out on Facebook for those babies to let them see, hey, baby, it took me X amount of years to get here. It's not the importance of walking across
right.
the state. It's not
yes.
the, you're going
Perfect.
To celebrate it, but it starts
Perfect.
After you cross the state.
That's right.
So that
so
was
let's start
my,
there.
Yeah, my recalibration.
So let's start there.
I had to go there.
That's your recalibration. So here's what you do when you recalibrate. That's a perfect example. When you graduate, you had that cap and gown. You finally did it and carried your picture of your mom, as I recall.
Oh, yeah.
That frame picture because you wanted her there with you at that achievement. So that what you're talking about is setting a new point. That recalibrating is setting a new point for your life, a new direction, a perspective. It's what if. And think about the mindset behind that. What the question I would like to ask is when people are feeling down or they're feeling like they're being swept away or they're lost or they're like a raft being, you know, buffeted over the rapids or they're on that trapeze and they've let go and they don't know what's next. What if the question just floated across? What if a life coach said, what if your greatest success isn't behind you but is still to come?
Mm.
Wouldn't that question kind of give you a little bit of hope? I mean,
oh, yeah.
I
yeah.
mean, it kind of raises the question. Well, is that possible? What if my greatest? I've been hit. I've been buffeted. I've been taken down. I've been the what the heck is going on? And then somebody says, "What if your greatest success isn't behind you?" And you really start to think about that, and you really start to maybe imagine. And so there are some steps this is what I'm trying to write into the book because I'm trying to find a way to describe it. And so I've come up so far with 7 steps, and
but
this is how it's shaping up so far.
If I don't want to cut it off, but I'd like to because, we have to go into with the sponsors here, but I'd like to,
okay.
I don't know what your time is like, but come back with those 7 steps because what you just, that question you just asked, what if your success is behind you? Wait a minute, what was the question? What if success?
What if your greatest success isn't behind you, but it's still
what
to come?
If your greatest success, I love
isn't
it.
Isn't behind you. Mm-hmm. It's still
tough. It's not. Yeah. So you really you thought you hadn't arrived. Okay. It's just like where we're going, and I'll give you a call on that when we speak on purpose. See, people say I'm standing in my purpose. No, you're not. You're doing what you want to do. You're not in your purpose yet. Because when you get there, you're doing it. And it's the same thing here. What if your success is in front of you and not behind you? Am I wording that right?
Yep.
And what it takes me to, because we're going to have to come back up with those 7 steps on the next segment, so you're going into segment number 2. You got part 2 of this, so you're not going to get away.
Okay.
And we're not going to, next week, I will have a young lady that comes on, and she was the first African-American scientist for the Chevron Company, and nobody even knows about it. So that is something I don't like to rush you, and I like to give you as much time as you need, so I try not to have anyone coming, you know, a 2-for-1 on that day. So possibly, if not next Thursday after next,
mm-hmm.
to come, but I'll stay on you, but we want to go into those 7 steps.
Okay.
But with that question, what you're making me remember, there's a saying, when you run into a brick wall, okay, then
mm-hmm.
you know that there's something on the other side of that wall. Same thing. Your success is not done yet. you haven't even got to it yet. So you have, when you asked that question, I thought about the brick wall. She means kick that wall down and keep going. And that's the way I took it, but that's just the way I look at it, you know, because we understand it differently. But Professor Byrd, I want to say to you that every time you come on, I'm going to have to stretch it. Next time we're going to go a whole 55. You got it. I had to come out at 45 because of my sponsor on that and getting those words in. But the things that you said, transition is more plentiful when you gave us the five. It's non-lineal. It's an autobiography of occasion. Takes longer than you expect. Effectiveness is getting. And what are the essentials? But the one question that caught me is your transitional period forced on you, or is it something that you are seeking? See, a person that wants to make that change, that understands that change, can deal with the change and recalibrate quicker than someone that it's being forced on. Okay, because then, but a person that's kind of like looking for it, seeking it, you know, okay, something has to get better than this. I know that there's that. They can recalibrate real quick. So, as my parents used to always tell me, you know, you must get off the porch and go visit other neighborhoods. Okay, now what did that mean to me? Mm-hmm. They were setting me on my transition path right there, because as you travel through life, you're going to meet all type of people, so you might as well get to see what they're about now. So when you're going through those transitions, you can recalibrate quickly. So I guess that's what you see in me. And on that note, I'm going to ask you, Professor Byrd, if you can give us 1, 2, 3, 5 words to leave us with till you come back with part two on this before we tell the listeners to have a great evening. Give us a thought. I got the question. We need the thought.
Well, it's funny because one of the concepts I've been thinking about is that you said hit the brick wall, but what it made me think of was that we need to be able to make change and snap out of it. And so part of being able to snap out of our, whatever it is, our drudgery or our sleepwalking or our disbelief about where we are in our life. I think of this old movie. It was the movie that Cher, the singer, was in years ago. It was called Moonstruck, and it was a love story, but she smacks the guy in the movie and she says, "Get over yourself." And it was funny at the time because nobody ever got slapped in a movie like that, and nobody got slapped by Cher in a movie like that. But this idea of waking up and not dwelling and not mulling and not feeling sorry and not continuing to whatever it is, that this get over yourself is that's not what you wanted to hear tonight, but that is the first thing that came to mind, is that we, you know, Part of the challenge of going through transition and actively walking through the 7 steps has to do with inspiring yourself for your own life.
Self-inspiration. You know? I love it.
Yeah. Whatever this is that's holding you back.
Right. And I'm going to have to give you a call because there's some exciting stuff happening. I know you're on the move. You're real busy, but help, help, help. We have to have dialogue.
Yes.
I will
give you
a call after I summarize. I know that you've had a busy day, but after the show goes down, give me a few minutes. I'd like to call you briefly and just ask you a few personal questions and let you know some update on what's going on. Professor Byrd, you know I love you because life design, our lives are here for sculpturing, painting, airbrushing, whatever you want to do to make it do, but you must design your life, and no one can design that for you. Persons like yourself are there to kind of like give them direction of everything that they need, and I appreciate you for taking out your time because you're a busy lady and sharing and caring with us here with Waking Up with Linda Maxshand. And before I go, and I'm going to say it while you're here. You gave us our last word. And my last word to everyone out there is fill out those census forms and take your power to the polls, because you know we have something to do. We want you to stay woke,
yep.
Stay safe, stay happy, and get ready to make that switch. When you hear the word transition,
please.
When I hear it, I hear switch.
Please.
So turn on the light. Professor Berg, thank
I'm
you
begging.
So much. Listeners,
thank
have
you.
A great evening. Okay. Good
All
night.
Right. Thank you, Linda. Bye-bye.
Early May. If the hate knows love's the cure, you can rest your mind secure that I'll be loving you always. Now I can't reveal the mystery of tomorrow, but in passing we'll grow older every day. Just as all that's born is new, you know what I say is true, that I'll be loving you.
Grandchildren,